So global financial market environment is of key issue to South Africa. And of course, when we do see a rise in risk aversion, which has come through recently from the concerns around the United States and China.
The parlous state of the South African economy is a perpetual theme. With me is Annabel Bishop, chief economist at Investec in Johannesburg. And I think the point that we have to make at the moment is that we are borrowing more money, Annabel. Rating agencies are looking at us. There's all sorts of talk, which has been a theme for many, many years, all sorts of talk about us having to go to the IMF to get a bailout. Maybe you can contextualize this in general terms before we get into specifics.
Hi, Lindsay. Yes, I think certainly there's been, you know, increasing concern with the announcement a couple of weeks ago from our finance minister, Tito Mboweni, indicating that they'll have to borrow more. And indeed, we've seen borrowings increase each week now by about 27%. Borrowing more, increasing government debt in order to fund the costs of Eskom. You know, Eskom, our state-owned electricity utility, and obviously one which is very financially embattled, substantial debt levels above 400 billion. And indeed, quite interestingly, Moody's now actually accounting for Eskom's debt as part of South Africa's government debt. And by doing this, the chance of a Moody's credit rating downgrade has become increasingly closer. And with that, then, South Africa being on a sub-investment grade rating from all three of the key agencies.
Yes, what are the implications if Moody's do go the way of the other two rating agencies? What are the implications for that, for the bond market, for investors in South Africa, for people that are investing in South Africa at the moment but may not be able to invest in South Africa in the future because of that downgrade? What are the implications?
Well, the implications of any downgrade are first and foremost an increase in borrowing costs. And from that perspective, you would anticipate government bond yields rising quite significantly. Indeed, quite a lot of this has been factored into the markets already. And if you have a look at it from a credit default swap perspective, you can see that they're already rating South Africa's as a sub-investment grade country. But nevertheless, we would still expect to see some impact on the, you know, advent of an actual downgrade from Moody's, you know, from investment to sub-investment grade. They hold us in a dual currency rating, so that would mean that both our RAND and our foreign exchange long bonds credit ratings would then obviously drop to sub-investment grade simultaneously. In such an environment, you know, the concern certainly is that large institutions that are mandated to hold only investment grade paper would then have to sell out of South African government debt, and that of course resulting in some fairly substantial currency weakness, RAND weakness, which as you know then filters through into higher petrol prices in South Africa when the RAND weakens materially, typically higher inflation as well. So obviously, you know, those are the concerns. You know, as we mentioned earlier, higher borrowing costs as well pushes up long-term borrowing costs. That has an impact on individuals' mortgage bond rates, their prime lending rates, and of course as well the impact, you know, really felt as well on the repo rate in South Africa. We've had a nice 25 basis point cut recently. In the advent of a Moody's credit rating downgrade, there would be upward pressure on the yield curve, but you know, also in the short end as well. And of course we could see an end to South Africa's interest rate cut cycle this year, and potentially even some hikes. The Reserve Bank previously has said this could be in the magnitude of a 1% hike. And, you know, these are some of the worries around a credit rating downgrade.
Annabel, earlier on you spoke about a 27% increase in issuance of government bonds. Is that unusual?
I think, you know, the point is that government has indicated that it's going to increase the amount of debt at auctions each week, and it's around about 30% that we've had seen so far. That's what we've been notified of, you know, so that dramatically pushes up our long-term borrowing quantum in South Africa, particularly if this is going to become a persistent feature. One wonders how it perhaps wouldn't be a persistent feature given the ongoing problems that we are seeing at Eskom and, you know, the very high level of debt that entity has, which results in obviously large interest payments being made each month on that debt, coupon payments, and of course as well not forgetting the monies that are also needed by the utility to turn itself around as well from an operational perspective. So, you know, essentially South African government funding Eskom.
Is there an appetite for our debt, this extra 27 to 30% per week issuance? Is there an appetite from foreign and local investors for this debt?
Yeah, I think what's very interesting is that, you know, over the past decade or so, we've seen our 10-year government bond yield rise from closer to 5% to closer to 10%. And, of course, you know, the higher your yield, the higher return on holding this paper, you know, that does have a certain level of attraction as well. And, of course, you know, if we do see that there is some waning in demand, your yield tends to rise, and then you tend to find, you know, more interest. I think, you know, the markets are not anticipating any near or immediate-term collapse in South African government's ability to pay its debt, you know, its creditworthiness. They believe that, you know, they'll be earning these high yields and, you know, their investments are fairly safe. Bear in mind as well that our financial market system is highly liquid. Foreigners and locals can, you know, quite easily buy and sell government debt in the secondary bond market. So I don't think there's, you know, much concern on that front. If anything, we would just see some, you know, concerns, investor concerns, some small waning in demand coming through in higher bond yields.
Our domestic woes are one thing, but international woes are another, because over the last few days, and in fact it started on Thursday with the start of an equity market, a global equity market sell-off Thursday, Friday it continued, Monday it continued in slightly dramatic fashion. We've stabilised a little bit since then, but of course this is the last thing that South Africa needs. The last thing we need is a risk-off environment worldwide, because it leaves us incredibly vulnerable, the rand vulnerable, the bond market vulnerable, etc.
And of course, you know, very concerning commodity prices as well. And, you know, on the oil price front, we've actually seen a near collapse, you know, essentially probably close to a collapse in oil prices since April, down about 22%. It's being called a bear market at the moment. Commodity prices are very important for South Africa, both because oil is a key import for us, but, you know, also important for us as well, because from a currency perspective, we are a commodity currency. So if we see dramatic downturn in commodity prices, that's going to cause substantial rand weakness. And that's exactly, you know, one of the key factors that has happened. Even though we have seen this marked drop in oil prices, we still are looking for another petrol price increase next month because of the very substantial currency weakness. Also due as well, of course, because of the fact we're an emerging market country, and as a consequence, being negatively impacted by risk off in global financial markets, you know, obviously coming through, as I said earlier, significant selling of South African equity. So all of this really coming together in an environment for South Africa that has resulted in the rand moving back now towards 15 rand to the US dollar. And just, you know, a few weeks ago, we were looking instead being in the 13 to 14 range. Now, you know, the risk obviously is we're going to be running around the 15 level. So global financial market environment is of key issue to South Africa, and of course when we do see a rise in risk aversion, which has come through recently from the concerns around the United States and China, obviously President Trump seemed to exacerbate the trade tensions and moving closer to a global trade war. This has seen sell-off of EM portfolio assets to some degree, and of course resulted in this weakness in the currencies.
Yes, indeed. Some people are calling it the perfect storm. I call it the imperfect storm. Are you fearful about the impact that the global situation aligned with domestic woes will have on the financial system in South Africa?
Look, I think we've been through very negative periods before in South Africa. We've been through global financial cycles and, you know, cycles in South Africa. And, of course, this is just hitting potentially towards another significant down cycle as well, and that's the risk that people are obviously feeling. But, you know, we must bear in mind that, you know, these global trade negotiations with President Trump have a very stop-start nature. You know, we might find that next week suddenly, you know, all is forgiven with China, and there's some now sentiment that we see some global risk on, particularly if the Federal Open Market Committee changes its hawkish stance, which, you know, is what has been perceived at the last FOMC meeting. Even though they cut interest rates by 25 basis points, they were very quick to say they haven't entered a long interest rate cut cycle in the United States. So markets have therefore deemed the tone of the FOMC to be hawkish. The FOMC starts to indicate further interest rate cuts are likely, particularly given the recent downturn in markets and worries over slower growth, you know, moderating commodity prices. And, of course, the United States President Trump pulls back on his fairly significant aggression towards China on the trade front, then we could see the currencies turn around. We could actually see some rand strength again. So I think, you know, what you could rely on is volatility. Obviously, you know, from a down case scenario, if we do move into a credit rating downgrade for South Africa, we have increased the probability of that, and that obviously is a risk for us. But, of course, we need to bear in mind as well that a lot of work is being done to try and repair the problems and utilities issues in South Africa. And of course, you know, moving closer to repair would obviously help stabilize the environment for us as well.
The volatility we've been speaking about for the last few minutes, Annabelle, makes it very difficult for you to forecast for the rest of 2019 and beyond. But have you tweaked or adjusted your forecast when it comes to GDP, when it comes to CPI, when it comes to rating agencies' forecasts, that sort of thing? Have you changed your stance in the last few days, given what's happened?
So this week and last week, we looked at the scenarios and we indicated that there is a greater chance of South Africa receiving a credit rating downgrade, and therefore we increased the probability of the light down case, which is one of South Africa being sub-investment grade from Moody's. And that was on the back of the communication both from National Treasury for the increase in borrowings to help fund Eskom, and of course as well the impact that we were having generally in the economy from a weak economic growth perspective, and obviously providing some mid-year assessment. Certainly this week now, with the escalation in global trade tensions, if that persists and worsens, we may indeed look to reduce the expected cases probability, but also to weaken the exchange rate forecast there as well. We do have a fairly weak economic growth outlook, but I think the point is that tomorrow we're going to see some key data being published. That's the manufacturing and mining data in South Africa, which will give us a good steer on industrial production. And retail sales figures that have come through as well as the industrial production figures to date do point to a significant rebound in GDP growth in the second quarter of this year. In fact, we think it'll be similar to the contraction in the first quarter. All in all, that then should really result in a fairly flat half year. The second half of the year will be quite key in terms of what the outturn is for the economy in 2019. We continue to believe it will be below 1% and don't believe that the downward trend we've seen in economic growth this decade has yet come to an end.
Annabelle, thanks for your insight. Annabelle Bishop is the chief economist at Investec in Johannesburg. Thank you for listening to Investec Focus Radio. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.